From Berean Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Please have your Bible ready and stay with us as the Reverend Philip Owen opens the Scriptures to Let the Bible Speak.
Hi, welcome to another segment of Let the Bible Speak. This regional broadcast is from Berean Free Presbyterian Church, located in Boston, New York, near familiar towns like Hamburg, Orchard Park, Colden and Springville. We'd love to hear from you, and perhaps you can visit us here at the church on Boston State Road off the 219 exit for Boston and Hamburg, just 4.5 miles south of there. If you'd like to receive the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine for free, call or write to us and join our mailing list. Our phone number is 941-3199, and the address is 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. May the Lord bless you this day. Perhaps you heard about the stir that occurred in the Kansas Senate when this prayer was offered by a minister named Joe Wright. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, "Woe to those who call evil good," but that is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternate lifestyle. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. And we have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent to direct us to the center of your will. We ask it in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The response, needless to say, was immediate. A number of legislators walked out during the prayer in protest. In 6 short weeks, Central Christian Church logged more than 5,000 phone calls, with only 47 of those calls responding negatively. And may the Lord give us such boldness and accuracy in discerning the state of our nation and of our society and of our church and of our own lives. And may the Lord revolutionize us and regenerate us by the power of His Spirit and through the blood, the precious blood of His Son. Turning to the Old Testament scriptures, Isaiah, or some call it Isaiah, chapter 53, commencing at verse 3. He, that is Jesus, is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Amen. Our gracious Father, we ask that Thou will help us to understand more of the depth of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. May Thy Spirit help us to ponder these truths and to be blessed by them. And may the application of Christ's redemption and His death and His blood shedding be applied to precious souls today. Apply the blood to all believers' souls as well, for we need forgiveness. We need fresh forgiveness, and we need a fresh cleansing from the precious blood of our Savior. Speak to our hearts, we pray, and may Your word go forth throughout this whole area for the glory of Your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A very startling and seemingly incredible statement is found in Isaiah 53, verse 10, where we read, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." It pleased the Lord to bruise him, that is Christ. Do we not see this statement as almost incomprehensible? Speaking of Calvary, of the cross of Jesus Christ, the Scripture says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." Speaking of His sufferings, His sacrifice, His taking the sins of His people upon His own soul, called imputation. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It would be more understandable if we read, it was His purpose to bruise Christ. And yes, it was the purpose of God for Christ to die on the cross. But it reads, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him." May today we see a sight of God in Christ at Calvary and be stirred in our souls to realize the importance of the death of the Lord Jesus. Do we not see the first place, the incomprehensible grace and mercy of God at Calvary? Yet, when we should have been condemned for treating Christ like this, when God's wrath could have fallen upon all the Jews and the Gentiles, and in a sense we were in the loins of Adam and the descendants. We are descendants of Adam who rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden. God could have sent His wrath upon all the Jews and the Gentile soldiers who put their fists in our precious Savior's cheeks and put that crown of thorns upon His brow and into His skull and beat His back where all the skin was flailed from off Him. Oh, the sufferings of our Savior. Oh, the agonies, the pains that He endured, the stings upon His face, upon His brow, upon His back, upon His chest, throughout His whole body, and in His soul, and in his spirit. The Bible says, yet, the incomprehensible grace of God. Christ was there not for His own sins, but for the sins of His people. He was the just one there for the unjust. Yet speaks to me of mercy when I should have died, when I should have perished, when I deserve the wrath of God in hell forever for offending an infinite and holy God who made man upright. But we sought out many of our own inventions and of our own devices. Yet Christ became the substitutionary sacrifice for His people. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. See the grace of God at Calvary, where it could have read, "It pleased the Lord to punish sinners," because God is holy and He demands punishment for the breaking of His law and the violating of His nature. Yet it wasn't sinners that perished, that is, sinners for whom Christ died. But it was Christ, His own Son, that was bruised. See the incomprehensible grace and mercy of God. Secondly, see the inestimable love of God at Calvary. It pleased the Lord. There was no cruelty involved against His Son. God wasn't punishing His Son because He had some sadistic delight. The pleasure there speaks of the expression of His love for His people. And Christ, the Son of God, being equal to God, very God, He too was pleased to be bruised because He knew that His people were going to be saved by that bruising, by that crucifixion, by that suffering, by that death of deaths, by experiencing the equivalent of an eternity in damnation, in hell, for His people. It pleased the Lord. Why? Because He loved His people. Christ was willing to have His joy, as it were, interrupted, come down from heaven's splendor, from heaven's glory, to this earth of woe. For God so loved the world that He gave, He delivered over His own Son and punished Him. Christ, through in Jeremiah 31, says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Why did Christ suffer the crucifixion? Why did God bruise Him? Because He was pleased to do it, because His people would be saved. That was the only way it could be done. There was no other plan. There was no other way for sinners to be saved but through a perfect substitutionary sacrifice. God could not, with a wave of a hand, forgive sinners because it would violate His nature. His law demands, His broken law demands a eternal punishment. But Christ was bruised for His people. See not the love of God at Calvary? Oh, friend, that you might behold the Christ of Calvary. You might look unto the cross of Calvary and realize there alone can you have forgiveness and restoration to fellowship with God. Thirdly, see the indisputable purpose and providence of God at Calvary. It pleased the Lord to do this. The Lord did it. It wasn't man. Now, man was guilty. The Jewish Sanhedrin and the Jewish people who wanted to crucify Him, who unrighteously arrested the Savior and gave Him a middle-of-the-night trial and gave Him blows with their fists and slaps with their hands and blindfolded Him and buffeted Him and then gave Him over to the Gentile soldiers under Pilate, who in their expertise gave Him such punishment and suffering just short of death. No other agony could be experienced but by the Son of God. It was no plan B that God saw the Jews rejected His Son and so would deliver Him over to a crucifixion as an example that might somehow win their affection and give them a sentimental desire to return to the Savior and to accept Him. No, sir. The Bible teaches us that the cross was in God's plan. Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? David's prophecy of Christ's crucifixion. We know from Deuteronomy that cursed is he that hangs on a tree. He was delivered over, the Bible tells us in Acts 2:23, by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. In no way can man be exonerated just because it was the plan of God, because ye with wicked hands crucified Him, Peter said to the leaders and to the people of Israel. But God's purpose does include man's responsibility. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The greatest crime of mankind is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But it was in God's plan. You see, if you look to Christ and confess Him as Savior and are not ashamed of His cross and His blood and claim His death and His atonement for your salvation to take away your sin, you won't be liable for that crime because that crime will be taken by the Lord Jesus Christ. All the sins of His people were imputed, reckoned, credited, if you will, or debited, really, to His account. And when He died, He ensured that His people's sins were forgiven and they were given a home in heaven. See the providence and purpose of God at Calvary. It was His plan to bruise the Savior. See, fourthly, the inexhaustible wrath of God at Calvary. As far as we're concerned, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Oh, the bruising, the crushing. Oh, they were surface wounds, as it were, as the devil was said to crush, to bruise the heel of the Savior. Man's wounds, in a sense, were surface wounds, but God's justice and His law's fury gave a fatal, deep blow Oh, the billows, the thousands, the millions of the billows of the blows of the Almighty upon Christ at Calvary. For every one of our sins deserved a blow of God upon His Son. What would it take to pay for the sins against an infinite God? Christ suffered all those waves of the blows of God Almighty and His wrath, and He exhausted them. Christ drank the cup of God's fury empty. Christ experienced all those blows for you and me. No wonder why the Son had to hide its face when the King of Glory was being punished, when all the sins of His elect people were being placed upon Him. No wonder why He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Friends, see that you and I deserve that. And Christ is the only mediator between God and men. The law was magnified at Calvary, and that Christ experienced all the blows of the law's punishment and the law's justice for the sins of His people. There was no overlooking of sin, but the punishment of sin was experienced by the Savior. And fifthly, see the unquestionable and inexplicable object and sacrifice and satisfaction of God at Calvary. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He bore it. It wasn't just a nebulous and an abstract payment, but a personal, a definite object. And Christ was that object. He personally was crushed and wounded for His elect people. Oh, Christ had the wrath of God reach Him. He was the one that bore our sins at Calvary. He's the blessed Savior and Redeemer of God's elect. He's the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, the beloved Son. Remember Christ, friend, not just a historical occurrence, not just a fact in history, but remember the Christ of Calvary. Remember me, Jesus said. Remember my death until I come. Do this in memory of me when we observe the Lord's Supper. Think on Christ, Christ alone, the person of Christ and the work of Christ is your only hope, is my only hope. What a Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet it pleased the Lord Jehovah God to bruise Jesus Christ, that all of God's covenant people might be saved. And may you be saved today. Look unto Christ. He is able to save you. You don't have to pay any payment for your sins if Christ has paid it all, because He drank it all. If He could only drink 99% of the cup of God's fury, then we are lost forever. But Christ said, it is finished. No masses need to be said. No propitiatory sacrifice needs to be given. Christ is the only mediator, the once-for-all sacrifice for His people. Look unto Jesus Christ for your salvation. He is able to save you to the uttermost. Come unto Him, and He won't cast you out.
Fasting in the wilderness.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Berean Free Presbyterian Church, located in Boston, New York, just 35 minutes south of Buffalo, off Route 219. You may write to Pastor Phil Owen at Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. That's Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. Or you may call the church at area code 716-941-3199. Area code 716-941-3199. Also be sure to visit our website at www.freepres.org, www.freepres.org. If you're free next Lord's Day, we invite you to come and worship with us. Sunday school for all ages is at 10 a.m., and the church services are at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. We also have a midweek Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. Thank you for listening today. I trust that you'll join us again at the same time next week as once more we let the Bible speak.